Welcome to Arrive at 5, the podcast of pointless lists and banter. I'm your host, David.
And I'm Blair.
And I just want to thank you guys so much again for joining us for another episode. Please make sure you like, subscribe, rate, review us on Apple iTunes, on Google Play, on Anchor, on Spotify, on Stitcher, on every major streaming platform.
Right, and definitely get at us on Twitter, too. That's where we'll be on the lookout for most listeners. That's Arrive at 5.
Arrive A-T, the number 5.
Right, Arrive at 5.
That's it.
That's the Twitter handle. Plugs are over. David, how's your week been?
It's been pretty good. What about yours?
It's been okay. What would you have done if I just went in all about my week just then?
if you'd have just broken down just day by day, just
Monday was awful.
Okay, so at 8 o'clock it started out. Okay, I got there a little late. My key card wasn't working to get in.
And Carol was waiting at my desk. She said, "Where have you been?"
I was there at 8:01. I was 1 minute late, Carol.
She said, "We needed you at 7:50.
Well, they don't pay me before 8 o'clock.
There's some people that I walk by in the hallway, and we intentionally are about to pass, and I know we're about to do the whole, how's it going? Good, how are you? And instead, they just say, "Hey, how's it going?" And I just say, "Good." don't say another thing to them.
Keep on trucking.
Yeah, I'm not going to risk it because I know I'll get stuck there.
Okay, pro tip for you. This is what I do in those situations. Okay. If someone says, "Hey, how are you doing?" I always say, "Good, hope you are," and keep going.
Ooh, yep. That's nice. Yep. That's nice. Yep. Well wishes, also don't speak to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's ideal. I mean, that's essentially what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, hope you're doing good, but I don't want to hear from you.
Yeah, so I'm acknowledging what you're saying. I'm also hoping that you're doing well. But look, I got shit I got to take care of.
That's perfect. Check back in with me next week. I'm going to try that all week this week.
I'm good. Hope you are.
Yeah, I'm good. Hope you are.
Later.
Keep moving. Okay. Great pro tip. That's a free tip for the listeners.
There you go.
Okay, speaking of people in the office and things that might irk you a little or that you try to avoid, ready to transition to the topic for today?
I mean, there's no better segue.
Man, today's topic, I can honestly say I am more excited about this topic than I have been about anything else we have recorded.
I'm pretty excited too, and I'm a little worried that if this is just like the petty side, the negativity just brewing inside, but I'm like, man, I really want to vent about these things.
Right. That's what I was about to get into was, when else do you get a chance to talk about what we are about to get into for a full hour and just complain about these things?
Yeah, 100%. What we're doing is top 5 pet peeves.
Any pet peeve.
Yes, top 5 things that get on your nerves.
Right, anything that happens around you, that you see, that you hear, that just irks you and bothers you even after you get past it.
Mm-hmm. Top 5 things just makes you mad.
Oh man, these are things I feel so strongly about all of.
Yes, I am very eager to get going.
Okay. Should I start us off today?
I think you should.
Okay. My number 5, I'm keeping it with the work theme. Okay. My number 5 pet peeve is when people reply all to work emails,
that
man.
That happened to me on Friday.
It always happens to me. Anytime we got more than 10 people on an email and I see the initial email, I'm immediately like, oh, who's going to do it? Yeah. I'm scrolling through the names at the top. Ooh, trying to think.
You should get odds.
Oh, this person's going to do it. Odds.
I'll say, who's got the odds? Who's the favorite?
Good work, Paul. Well, I'm about to actually give you an example. So this past week, we got an email from our CFO at work. We had done a toy drive or a drive of some sort at Christmas. I think it was toys, but just items for kids around the holidays.
Right.
And he had back the results of this Christmas drive that we had done, sent out an email and said, "Hey guys, here's the thank you note from this this event that we did. Here's what the note said. You know, thanks so much for participating." It goes out. 5 minutes later, we get the first response that says, you know, "Oh, thanks for sharing. This warms my heart." So I'm not salty at that. I'm like, okay, that's nice. Okay. We get another reply. "Great news. Way to work as a team, everybody." And I'm like, okay, nah, like this is enough. This
I was gonna
is
say,
funny.
At least that one addressed everybody. Like they knew they were replying
right.
all.
The next reply says, "Michael, any ideas about when we'll carry out our next community event?" I'm like, no! So then another reply, of course, then it just starts going like, we should consider something around the Easter holiday.
Oh,
just starting.
I was going to say, and then that starts a conversation that now everyone is looped
right.
in on.
Wouldn't you love to just click unsubscribe to that email and it send everybody a message?
Oh,
like,
to let
Blair
them know.
Allen has left the conversation.
Yeah. Oh, man. We had one. They sent out a company-wide email just about like, just an update to HR policy. Just check it out. And then someone decided to reply all to our entire company.
Oh, and the ultimate reply all.
All of them. And it was literally a question like, it was a question like, where can I look up the benefits like for my children?
A very specific to them question.
To just them. Only them.
Right. And I guess that's what the ending line should be on this is don't use reply all unless it is needed. Consider what other people need to see, basically.
Yes, 100%.
Oh, quick additional side story. When I used to teach, there was a teacher who replied all to a full student listserv, something about an individual student.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm talking full school, like student, full body listserv.
Right.
Full student body listserv.
Oh, my replied. Gosh. But it was about one individual student.
It was about a student who had an individualized education plan. So it was like very confidential information.
Oh my
god. It was a big deal.
Did it say them by name?
I don't know if it did, but I think he replied and it sent part of the thread. And I think that thread might have. So like if anybody was smart enough to back read it, which
okay.
we're talking about kids. So probably not.
If
but
if they had learned their digital etiquette.
Digital etiquette
would
be a game
have,
changer here.
I got you.
Yeah. That's gotta be taught in schools, you know?
Yeah.
I would think
it would make some kind of list on things to like be taught in schools.
It'd be top five on my list, is all I'll say. Okay, you ready to move on?
Yeah, let's do it.
What's your top five here? What's
okay.
your fifth?
So my number five of things that like my pet peeves, like top five things that just get on my freaking nerves. Whenever I'm trying to talk and people are like interrupting me or talking over me, like I just can't.
Dude, I know somebody who
I just can't get what I'm trying to say out because I'm just trying to tell the story.
So there's a guy that I actually am around all the time.
So I hate when people talk over me. Because I'm not typically one to be like, I'm going to rule this conversation. I'm going to tell the stories. I'm going to be center stage. So when I have something to say, it's because I have something to say. So when people start cutting in and talking over me and butting in like a dickhead, then it gets on my nerves.
Yeah. Understandable. I think that's pretty annoying too. I'm in the same boat as you. I feel like I don't talk unless I know I have something valuable to add in a larger setting anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it only really happens in groups. I mean, it can happen one-on-one, but it's less likely because you can kind of take those physical cues about this, like, yo, dude, I'm still talking.
I was going to say, or just not be a dick and like interrupt somebody.
Yeah.
Imagine interrupting one individual person.
Just completely talking over them.
Yeah, every
no
time.
No matter
they
what they're saying,
when
you're
they
still talking
to
over them. Okay, no matter what. What's your number four?
Are you done?
What's your number?
Are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay.
I'm done.
That's a good number five. I feel you on that one. My number four, very near and dear to my heart and my wallet, is when restaurants charge extra for any sort of extra sauce or condiment.
Okay, you're on your own on this one, big
That's
guy.
Totally fine. I'm talking specifically about ranch. You know how I roll. It drives me crazy. What a total sham.
Rolling deep in the ranch.
You already know. But seriously, they're already upcharging for every single item on the menu.
It's
every
true.
Single one.
It's true.
You don't get charged additional for drinks. If you order something that's not on the menu or you order your burger without an item, your meal price is not reduced.
Right.
So why are we being charged extra for a quarter of ranch or a quarter of barbecue sauce, whatever it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the time to pour the extra ramekin for you. How about that?
Yeah, okay. Anyways, I have a full running list in my head for sure of restaurants that upcharge for these things. I kid you not.
And you're not about it?
No, before I go in, I've already got in mind. Like, I have to really want that restaurant before I go in. Buffalo Wild Wings does it. Zaxby's does it. Hardee's does it. Harrison's does it. Buffalo Brothers does it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Running list, man.
Yeah. So a lot of wing places do it.
Yeah. To be fair, that's what you're dipping and dunking the most.
They charge you for that ranch.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
I know. You don't feel bad.
Yeah. Doesn't affect me.
It's nice going to eat places with you because I just take all the free ranch.
Yeah. It's true.
It's ideal.
You just get mine.
Yeah, like I said, though, the main issue is just that everything is being upcharged already. So don't feel that it's warranted to charge for something as small as that.
Yeah, because you know they buy it all in bulk, too.
Of course. Of course. We're talking about tubs of ranch dressing. Five-gallon containers, David.
I was going to say, they have a five-gallon bucket of ranch dressing.
Yeah, and if I thought it would last that long, I would buy that bucket wholesale.
When you say last that long, how long are you talking about?
Well, for me, it'd be at least 5-6 meals probably before I could use it all. So.
Oh, my.
It'd have to last a little while.
I'm about to vomit.
That's fine.
That's horrible.
Look, man, you got to do what you got to do.
Oh, God. No. I think they should charge you double for your extra ranches.
Okay, well, I feel even stronger about it now than when I initially said it.
You want my number four?
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
Okay, my number four is just bad, like overly aggressive, just you don't pay attention around, just horrible drivers. Like, just, and the reason this is my pet peeve is because, like, you're not only, like, you're putting so many people in danger. Like, driving is such a huge category, so I'm sure we can get into, like, some specifics and stuff, so...
Funny you say that. I'm not going to get into specifics because one of my top five that's coming up soon is part of driving.
Okay.
It is a very specific thing that happens on the road.
Really?
So I'm going to hold off on my comments.
Okay.
But I'm all good with that one, and people don't realize how, I guess, powerful a car is, and people have that at their fingertips.
Yes.
With very little common sense frequently.
Yeah, like people don't pay attention, or I mean, if they do, they're paying attention to the wrong things. I mean, we touched about it previously in an honorable mention, stuff that should be taught, like actually how to drive. Like, I think you should be taught to drive defensively. Like, everyone should be taught that because, like I said, you're in charge of a 2-ton vehicle, a 2,000 pounds, 4,000 pounds, no matter what you're running behind, man.
It's pretty crazy to think about. I mean, comparable to like an elephant, kind of. I mean, you're basically driving a small, powerful mammal. Yeah.
That can explode.
Yeah, yeah, and that's way faster than any huge mammal that you'd see. But kind of the same.
Yeah.
Every time I'm driving, there are things that I look around and see and think the same thing. Or when I'm driving behind a car, sometimes I remember that the actual rule is, you ever heard this? You're supposed to stay a car length behind somebody for every 10 miles an hour you're going.
So basically,
you shouldn't be close to anyone on the road ever.
Ever.
That would pretty much be the rule.
Yeah.
And nobody follows that.
Never.
Just...
I was going to say, like,
living by the...
I thought you were going to stop at a car length, and I was going to be like, yeah, people do that.
Everybody does that, going 80 miles an hour on the interstate. Yeah, so just living on the edge, driving a car. We got animals out there.
Yeah, it's tough, and it man, gosh. Okay, I will say, I got another pro tip for you. When dealing with insane drivers, people that, like, if someone cuts you off or, like, they're just driving like a complete jerk, and you know people will love to give you the middle finger and like that.
Oh, that's the most common thing you see on the road.
Found something that works way better than the middle finger. Way
okay.
Better.
A little nervous to hear it.
So if and if they can,
is this, can you say this on the pod?
I can say this on the pod. So as they have to, you obviously they have to see you. They have to be able to see in your window. But if you give them just a thumbs down and you just shake your head just like you're disapproving, I've never seen people get madder. I've recently started doing this.
The full-on shame method.
Yes.
I am disappointed in your driving.
Just boo. Boo.
I don't know what my reaction would be if I turned and I saw somebody doing that. I just
makes people so mad. It makes, because I mean, like a middle finger is just like, okay, yeah, fine.
You can deal with anger.
Here's my middle finger, whatever, we're even.
And
but
move
no.
on.
But if I'm just like, no, no, you suck. You are so bad. Then yeah, people get angry.
I feel like there's a chance that in the right circumstance, I would look over and then actually feel bad if somebody was doing that. Like, oh, like I shouldn't have done that. Probably.
Yeah. Just be like, boo.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, I'll write that down and try it out soon. Check back in about that next week also.
Okay,
we'll I'm going to do that on the road.
Will do.
Okay, well, my number three is something we started to talk about last pod also. Funny you mentioned that, but didn't quite get to. But it is use of the word literally.
Literally.
And I don't know when it came into our vocabulary and just invaded every single sentence that people say on TV, in social media, everywhere. But it is completely overused and 9 times out of 10 used incorrectly.
It is literally overused.
Yeah, my head might literally explode. I might literally die if I have to hear people misuse this the rest of my life.
Well, I will literally go to your funeral.
We had a rec basketball game the other night. We got smashed per usual, 40-80. We lost by 40 points.
Not bad. You dropped a cool 40. It's okay.
That's right. No, I hit 40. Somebody was running down the court after a made shot from this other team and said, "I am literally on fire." And I so badly wanted to be like, "That sounds awful, man.
Someone get a hose. This man is on fire."
Yeah, people got to understand the difference between literal and figurative.
God, like imagine that kind of trash talk, too. "I am literally on fire."
Yeah, God, would have loved, like you said, had an extinguisher and this just...
Yes, just, oh God.
You gotta cool off, man!
Pulled one from under the bench, just hosed him down real quick.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't know when this started, but there came a time when just everybody started saying this, similar to the word like, actually.
Right.
Can you pinpoint a time frame when like came into our vocabulary at the rate that it is now? I'm talking about in every single sentence, because I feel like I remember a time when that didn't happen. Did I?
Yeah.
But see, that's the thing. I can't even pinpoint it anymore.
No. Yeah, it's so ingrained in the lexicon that, I mean, basically since we were grown up, I mean, because you would hear, like, when people are talking in front of class, they're always saying like, and they're going like, and I was like, and they were like, and everyone was like, so this is why I'm like, and it just, it gets in there. I mean, it's like, I said it again.
It's second nature, though. It becomes that way. It's how you transition between different things, between different parts of the conversation.
Right.
You say, oh, they were like, they said like.
Uh-huh. It makes you when I'm
are you super conscious of it now?
I'm trying to actively
are you super
not
conscious
say
of it. I know.
I'm
I can tell.
To actively not say it.
Yeah.
It makes you want to come up with more synonyms. Like he stated, she said.
What would it be? It would be said,
exclaimed, said be... stated, questioned,
muttered, whispered,
uttered, grumbled, bellowed.
All good ones. You got any more?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it's in there now. Do you think TV shows... No. I'm trying to think. Do TV shows do that? I don't think so, though. They haven't added it into TV shows, news anchors talking off
what,
of the screen.
The continued like?
Yeah. Having it that much in a conversation.
Maybe. I don't know. I think I'll have to... I feel like I will more consciously try to notice
it now.
Yeah. All right, listeners.
I don't think it's as bad.
Listeners, you consciously notice it as well. Let
report
us know.
Back to us.
Yes, let us know. Yes. Arrive at 5.
Yes. So, use of the word literally, my number 3. People are idiots. They don't know the difference between literal and figurative.
So, literally using literally wrong.
I literally hate it.
Literally using literally metaphorically.
Right. Figuratively.
Figuratively?
Yeah. Literal, figurative, those are opposites,
yeah.
Antonyms.
Yeah.
Metaphorical is like in its own different category, right?
I guess. I mean, you could use it as metaphorical just because it's kind of like you're... Damn it. I keep saying like.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to call you out on the rest of the night, too.
Okay, my number 3.
Yeah, let's transition. Let's transition.
My number 3. When people at fast food places or in the drive-thru either mess up or forget part of my order. I'm trying to think of things that make me more irrationally angry, like at a complete stranger. Because you never notice until you get home either. And my biggest issue with it is most of the time I'm asking for less stuff on my sandwich. I'm saying okay. I'm saying I want no pickles,
right?
Or I don't want mayonnaise. I'm like, yo, I'm trying to make you have an easier job right now.
So they're not forgetting to add stuff. They're forgetting to be lazier in the process.
I'm trying to help you out here, and you're screwing
you're
me.
You're welcome.
You're doing me dirty with this.
Yeah, and what makes that even worse is when you find out when you get home. You get home, you open your to-go box, and you're dumbfounded that someone could ruin their one job in this order.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess you could just sit there, maybe throw your car in park in the drive-thru at the window.
But nobody wants to do
pick that. Through your bag, maybe open your sandwich, make sure there's no pickles on it or something.
Yeah, slaw on your barbecue.
And I mean, Lord, if there is, and then you have to be like, sorry, there's slaw on this, I'm going to hand it back through the window. Yeah.
And then the person behind you leans out the window and is like, what's the hold up?
And you're like, these people can't take a freaking order.
Right. But seriously, if you stop at the window and do that, everybody behind you is glaring hard.
Yeah.
And then they're adding it to their top five list. People who can't figure it out and make
it. Yeah. Number one, people that don't understand how drive-thrus work. That's going to be on their list.
Wouldn't that be something? You've only got one lane. Drive straight ahead.
But I don't know how it works.
That's a good one. I like that one. That irks me too.
It gets on my nerves so bad.
For me, it's definitely the fact that I have gone, that I've left, I guess, and I'm home and now there's nothing I can do about it except for make the best of the situation, pick off the item, despite the fact that I asked for it without that and paid for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, literally the only option is to accept defeat. Literally the only option is to accept defeat. I guess you could go back.
It's a literal option.
And complain or, call the restaurant and be like, hey, McDonald's, sorry you put pickles on my double cheeseburger.
They'd say,
I don't like that.
Sir, what do you want us to do about that?
I'd be like, fix your ice cream machine. That's what I want you to do about it.
Okay, my number two goes hand in hand with those bad drivers.
Okay.
But this is just like you leaving from the fast food restaurant and being irrationally mad from 0 to 60, like that.
Right.
Nothing makes me more frustrated, except for one thing. It's my number one quick pitch coming up next.
Okay.
Then drivers who don't understand how turning left at green lights work.
Okay.
I am so serious about this. When you get to a green light, if you don't pull up into the intersection, only one car can get through the green light, if any. And so when it is a green light, if a car pulls up, there's enough room for at least another car or two to get into the intersection so that when the light turns red, you're already out there and then you can turn. But 9 times out of 10, when I'm driving, the car in front of me sits at the light, does not pull into the lane, and then either nobody goes and we have to wait on the stupid green left arrow, or they wait till it turns yellow, and then they inch out and they slide over and leave me sitting.
Well,
I hate it.
I mean, I guess I understand that. That is very specific.
Yeah, yeah, it drives me crazy. But part of it is this reason. Do you know how many lefts I take to get to my house every day when I come home?
No.
Three. Yeah, yeah. And it happens at least two of them every day, man. I'm serious.
Yeah, well, I would say sometimes, though, when you pull out into the intersection, you can get kind of stuck out there, and then you have to, gun it, because now you're holding up the other side of traffic.
That's true, man. It's a risk I want you to take, so I can make the green light.
Okay, so now you're playing into my aggressive driver pet peeve, because now you're riding my bumper trying to push
That's
me
exactly
into the...
right.
I can't handle
if
that.
If you're in front of me at the green light, and you look over at me at the next light after you didn't turn, I'm giving you thumbs down. Guaranteed.
No. If I see you behind me ever, I'm giving you thumbs down, because I know you're going to be on my ass and riding my bumper.
It's not. It would only be when you're turning left. I'm fine with any other turns or going straight through lights. Hate that. I hate it.
Okay, I hear you.
I hate it.
I hear you.
All right.
Number two?
Yeah, yeah. I want you to know how much I hate that.
I hear you loud and clear. I don't think it's that crazy, but it's your pet peeve.
That's right. My top five. Number two.
Your top five.
My top five.
Number two. I'm just gonna put it this way. I want to have a small disclaimer before this. I have friends who have children. I have relatives who have young children.
No. Your pet peeve is when people have kids?
I enjoy being around kids that are well behaved. I enjoy kids that that can handle themselves around adults in a public place, maybe perhaps where they don't have their iPad or some sort of distraction.
Yes.
Basically my number two is parent your damn kids.
Yeah.
Because when kids go in, like, just in public, when kids act up in public, it's so hard. I can literally only think of, like, one other thing, and that's just because I relate to it on an extremely personal level. That's why this is my number two and not my number one.
Good sell. Also, I'm going to cut you off right there because
you're
going to
interrupt me? Is that what you're going to do?
That's exactly what I'm going to do. Cut you off like a bad driver. My number one is the exact same as that,
okay.
Basically.
All right. Great minds think alike.
My number one is written as parents who let their kids do whatever they want in public.
It's infuriating.
It is, especially when you're eating. That is the time when I see it the most, I guess. Kids either leaning over the booth, standing on the booth like it's a damn bouncy house.
Or I'll say jumping up and down.
If I did that when I was a kid, my ass would have been worn out on the spot.
Yeah. I would have been out the door. The cash would have been left on the table, and my tail would have been being whooped in the car.
Right, and because I knew that, I would have never done it.
Never.
Drives me crazy. The yelling, running, screaming, jumping. Seriously.
Everything.
Awful.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't even have to. I mean, a restaurant for sure, because I mean, you're trying to, that's your leisure time. You're trying to enjoy a night out. You're trying to enjoy a dinner.
Right, right.
With my former employer, I mean that was a deal every freaking day at the Super Center. Yeah. It was tough. It was really tough, like just screaming, just like, and running, like, and just, oh my gosh, at absolute insanity. Yeah. Absolute insanity.
That's I feel like parents don't want to risk that happening, and that's the reason, one of the reasons, that they just put the screen in front of them, whatever screen.
Right.
Phone, an iPad,
yep,
whatever it is.
Them, just
it's like, don't be crazy. But that wasn't an option for us. It was like, you're going to sit still during dinner,
yeah,
church, funeral, yeah, whatever it was, you are going to sit still.
It was fear.
It was.
That's
it
what
was.
It was.
I'm going to strike that fear into my child for sure. This will not be me.
Okay, this is not on record. You can parent your kid however you want.
Yeah. That's my number one. Yeah, it's kind of taken. So, I guess back to you.
My number one.
At this point, yeah.
Okay, well.
You've really built it up.
Yeah, my number one, and I'm sorry, but I'm about to call your ass out on this one.
Lay it on me.
You are offender number one.
Oh, can I guess what it is?
For my number one pet peeve.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff that annoys me, shit that irks me. My number one is biting your fingernails. Oh my god!
Yeah.
Oh, like it gives me a physical reaction. Like it makes me cringe. It makes me tense up. Like I want to scream. Oh my gosh! Yeah. I can't even form sentences because it annoys me so much.
I can tell
much.
How upset you are. What is it about it? Can you pinpoint it? Is it the sound?
It's disgusting.
Is it the repulsiveness of putting your fingers in your mouth?
It's disgusting. Everything that you touch is now in your mouth, and your mouth is now on everything that you touch.
So yours is biting specifically, not picking.
Oh, well, picking is the sound. Biting is how disgusting it is.
Yeah.
But it's nails. Nails, just messing with nails in general is my number one. It's my number, like, it is the equivalent of on a chalkboard, or like, man, it makes my skin crawl.
Yeah. I have picked my nails / bitten my nails as long as I can remember.
Disgusting.
I'm not exaggerating.
I know. And it truly repulses me. You're lucky that I like you as a person, because if I didn't know you and I saw your finger, no.
I feel like you're going into PTSD about this. I can't wait to pick my nails right after this.
I hate it. I'm going to run away. I'm going to go to the other room.
Man, I do it without even thinking about it. Mostly when I'm driving or watching TV.
I'm
not focused on it at all. I'm doing something totally different, and then I just find myself doing it. My wife would totally agree with you. Shout out Megan, friend of the show.
Yes, shout Megan. I don't know how
she
you
hates
do
this
it.
More than anything.
I don't this know
how you
do it.
This would be all five of her top five pet peeves. 100%.
Yeah. One for each finger. My God.
That's right. That's right.
I can't stand it, man. And my
do you see this often outside of me? Because I feel like I don't even notice it.
Okay, my brother used to be really bad about it as a kid. He would bite his fingernails, but he got over that. He only did it for like a couple years. It was just like kind of like a phase.
Huh.
But he like really grew out of that. And then sometimes Courtney doesn't really do it now, but like with like old girlfriends and stuff, like if I was like holding hands, like it's not like they would pick at my fingernails, but
that
like
they would pick your fingernails would be weird.
No. But they would mess with theirs while we were holding hands. So I would feel them mess, and like I would literally pull my hand away. I would literally pull my hand away.
So you would pull your hand away?
Yes, I would pull my hand away.
Literally.
Because I couldn't stand it.
I won't knock that. I do that. I'll pick them when I'm holding the wheel.
No.
Yeah. So.
No. God.
But for a minute, I did think that you meant they were picking your nails.
Oh.
And that would be some ape shit.
I would. No.
Actual apes do that.
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. No, God.
Okay.
I can't. Like, if someone tried to pick my
fingernails. Listeners, I want you to be able to picture how worked up David is getting. Every time he starts to talk about this conversation, he sinks his whole head into his hand, puts his head down. It's like he has flashbacks.
I can't, because I'm picturing someone picking at my nails right now, and I'm freaking out.
Yeah, I can tell.
I'm freaking out.
I can tell. Okay, well, that is a very specific number one.
I told you.
I don't feel bad about my left turn at green tangent now. I mean, at this point. But okay, yeah, good top fives.
Gosh.
Ready to recap them?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I got some decent honorable mentions, too, I feel
like.
I have a couple. Okay. Quick recap. My top five. Number five, replying all on the email. Number four, charging for extra sauce. Number three, literally. I literally can't even. Number two, turning left on green. Oh, it drives me crazy. And number one, parents who don't know how to control their kids.
Yes. Gosh, that could arguably be number one on mine. I have such a personal vendetta that it can't be.
I can tell. I won't ever question it again.
my number five, talking over or interrupting me. Number four, aggressive, just terrible, clueless drivers. Number three, when the fast food drive-through people forget something or mess up my order. Number two, parent your damn kids. Number one, biting, picking nails.
Especially yours.
My skin is crawling.
Yeah, it's happening again. He is fully repulsed right now.
Please,
just talking
okay,
about
honorable
it.
Mentions, we have to switch the subject. We have to switch the subject.
Okay, couple good honorable mentions I have. Number one, wearing an earpiece to talk on the phone. Do you need an earpiece to talk on the phone in public as you walk? You look ridiculous.
Okay, so do you feel the same way about headphones?
I think they're not as bad.
Okay.
I think they still look silly, but for them in, at least it's like, okay, you could have been listening to music and gotten a call.
And someone called you.
The earpiece? Like,
right.
Come on. Do
right.
you need that?
Yeah, I got you. Especially if it's like the kind of like older school Bluetooth that has the extra
That's
mouthpiece.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, I know people who used to wear those all the time.
Oh, yeah. I know people that still wear those.
Uh-oh. Any listeners? Listeners to the pod?
I'm not going to shout them out.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
They might do some things that we mentioned earlier, so I'm not going to shout them
probably.
Out.
Probably. That one doesn't bother me so much as I just think it's stupid.
Yeah.
That's why it's my pet peeve. I'm you look stupid.
Yeah, it irrationally annoys you.
Yeah,
it's a pet peeve.
Yeah.
For sure.
What you got?
The one-upper. Like, gosh.
Everybody knows one of those
Everyone
people.
Knows a one-upper. Like,
man, how was that not in your top five? I would have jumped on board with that.
It was close, man. It was almost number five, but talking over and interrupting me, it affects...
That's a good one.
It affects
that
me
was a good
personally.
One.
I hate you.
Okay.
But yeah, the one-upper. Like, I mean, you're trying to tell a story about... I'm trying to tell a story about when I went to the beach with my family last year, and you're like, oh my gosh, yes... I went to the beach off the coast of Spain with my family.
Right. And then you're like, oh, okay, that's cool. You keep going.
Yeah, and then they're like, yeah, I mean, yeah, y'all went and played putt-putt, but I mean, we went to the hottest nightclub in Ibiza. So
we took pills there too.
Yeah. Mike Posner shouts.
Yeah, that's a good one. And like I said, everybody knows somebody who does that. Everybody knows that person.
There's always the one-upper.
Yeah.
There's one in every crowd.
There's one in every crowd. That's for sure. Oh, man, I wish that had been your top five. I would have gotten all on that one. Okay. My next one here is people who don't put the toilet paper back on the rack after it's done. They just leave it sitting there.
Sitting on top?
Yeah, either sitting on top or, yeah, sitting on the cabinet beside it. Mainly for the fact that you're sitting down. Like, what else are you going to do while you're sitting down there? You know what I'm saying? You have so much free time in this moment.
It's just sheer laziness.
It's total laziness.
Okay.
You can't take 3 seconds to do that.
I will say there is one caveat to where this is okay. Because now they make toilet paper rolls so big that sometimes they can't fit.
Sure. I mean, that's acceptable.
Yeah. Because, I mean, sometimes like...
That's also ridiculous.
I agree. I'm with you on this one, man. And I did not tell them to make toilet paper rolls the size of industrial paper towels. But that's
kind they use in work bathrooms,
yes,
basically.
Yes, exactly.
Imagine smuggling one of those home. You could have toilet paper for a year.
Dude, you could toilet paper an entire house with just one roll. With just one roll.
It would be such a pain to throw over top of stuff.
Oh my gosh. It would be... That's the next World's Strongest Man competition.
First man to roll this oak tree wins.
You have to throw it over the entire thing.
Yeah. Of course, you could have a pass if we're talking about industrial toilet paper.
Yes, okay, cool. So one that I have, it's not a huge deal, but it's something that just like in the moment, it makes me kind of turn my nose up a little bit.
Right.
The dead fish handshake. If I get a dead fish handshake from somebody, I'm just like... What are we doing here?
That's annoying.
What are we doing here? I'm not saying it's got to be firm.
The dead fish handshake.
We don't have to have a G.I. Joe like extra strength grip going. It's fine. Just a quick squeeze, kind of firm handshake. Professional. Here we go. Done. But if you're just flop.
How awkward is it shaking a noodle hand? Also. I mean, it's like you're squeezing someone's ligaments, basically.
Yeah, like, if it was acceptable, it would make me want to go with the kung fu grip on the handshake.
Squeeze their hand until they push back.
Yes, like, I'm like, okay, so you're giving me the dead fish, I'm going to squeeze this
dead fish.
Right,
I'm going to give you the complete opposite and squeeze as hard as I can.
I'm going to make sure this fish is dead.
Okay, let's move on. Yeah. My next one, I've got two more. One I'm saving till last. We'll get there in a second. But people that do not pick up after their animals, dog poop specifically, of course.
Okay.
Don't see this one as often now, but in an apartment complex, it was a common one.
I would
walk out my front door and just poop everywhere.
There'd be poop.
Poop everywhere.
Everywhere.
So annoying.
I would say, and on to that, people that don't clean up after themselves as well, like at fast food restaurants and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's kind of, I feel like that's your own prerogative. That's you kind of sucking, but your dog can't clean up after themselves.
It's
so,
true.
Like, come
it's
on.
True.
Don't give your dog a bad name because you're lazy.
Yeah,
that's my thing.
And stepping in dog poop is a lot worse than seeing a tray sitting on the table across the room.
I would totally agree. Yeah. One ruins your day way more than the other.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you got any more?
I got one more.
Okay.
And this is just again, it's something small. It's not a huge deal, but it's something that when it happens, I'm just kind of like, really? And it's avoiding eye contact in a conversation. I don't mean like you have to maintain like staring contests like contact, but I'm talking avoiding eye contact, like the occasional like look at me then look around the room, that's totally fine, but like actively like looking at your shoes, looking at your watch, like we're trying to have a conversation and you can't even look at me in the face, it gets on my nerves.
Yeah, man, that and the handshake together.
Yeah.
You are not okay with people doing anything remotely disrespectful like that.
I mean, I wouldn't even say it's disrespectful. It's just a matter of like I think that's how
some people would, I feel like, consider it disrespectful. Like if you won't look at them.
Yeah.
Maybe more for like kids. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, it's more so. Honestly, yeah. I guess that might be it. It's kind of like I figure we're talking. Like I'm trying to look at you to build this connection to have this conversation, and you're talking to your shoes. Like your shoes aren't talking back. I'm talking back. Your shoes look nice. They're very good looking.
They're very nice. I just got these from Bass.
Ooh.
Bass Outlet. Buy one, get one there.
Buy the left one, get the right one?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Right one was free. Look at it. He's looking at it right now.
What's your last one?
And here's why I had to save this till last. I wrote this, kind of thought of this. Thought of this as a pet peeve. I guess earlier in the week, and after I thought about it, I found myself doing it multiple times throughout the week.
The call is from inside the
house. Yes, I hated it, man. So my pet peeve was people who in text messages or in writing in general used the same letter excessively, like used one letter a lot in a word. So if somebody is saying...
Oh, I'm super guilty of doing that.
Yeah, and I am too lately, like extra letters in a text.
Oh, but, so are you telling me that what I'm doing is annoying you? Is this your way of coming out and saying this? Like, yo, dog, stop putting three U's in dude when you're like, dude.
Yeah. Okay. That's my way of telling you, because you were super discreet about telling me about picking nails earlier.
Okay, Blair, your nails are fucking disgusting.
So my main issue with the extra letters thing is that when people use the letter, they don't use it where the emphasis would go. So if somebody is saying, is trying to say, stop, what letter would you put multiple of?
Probably the O,
O, but instead when people type it, they put multiple P's.
P, so it's like stop.
Stop. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm okay with the O being the one letter that you have extra of. Because that's one that you need to emphasize. There's lots of reactions where I'm like, oh. And it can mean different things, too,
or
to
like,
be fair.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah. Think about all the different O's. Like,
yeah.
Oh. Or, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
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 Yes, I'm okay with that one. I'm okay with that one.
Oh.
But using lots of letters incorrectly.
Oh.
I don't know. I guess I just want to read it that way when they type it.
Oh.
Stop. Doesn't work for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, I think we're about to debut our first Fast Five.
An inaugural Fire Five.
The first Final Five.
The first Quick Five of the show's history.
All right. So, with this list, let's give a shout out to Meg.
Yeah, Meg, wife of the show, gave us this listener request. Just so you guys know, we are taking requests for Fast Fives, Fire Fives,
Quick Five, Final Five.
At the end of the show, we want recommendations. Tweet them to us. These are going to need to be lists that we can rattle off quickly.
Real quick.
Things we don't want to spend a full show talking about, but that maybe you're curious what our top five of them would be.
Yeah, something hot take.
So I'm going to be the one that does the top five this week for this recommendation here.
Right, and I will pick it apart.
Okay. Thank you for the encouragement. The top five idea for this week from Meg was top five fast food fries.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to roll through them really quickly. Here we go. Number five, Wendy's. That real sea salt hand-cut fries. Man, they always come out hot. Like Wendy's fries a lot. Pretty simple.
I would say, yeah, Wendy's, whenever they did the transition to like the natural cut
fries. Yes, that is correct.
Yeah,
that is,
yeah.
That's what I'm listing.
Excellent transition.
Not for the shoestring fries at the start.
Good job.
They wouldn't be on the top five had they stayed with
us. Yeah, not with the originals.
Good work, Wendy's. This is a huge moment for you guys. Yep. You just slid in the back of the top five.
Shouts to Wendy's.
Big time. Number four, Arby's. They have cornered the curly fry market, man.
I will say, yes. They are the monopolizer of the curly fry market.
Yeah, they got to be on there. Number three for me, Kind of a rare one, I feel like. A lot of people wouldn't have this.
Okay.
Zaxby's. I like the crinkle cut fries. Yeah. I like the crinkle cut.
Okay.
They also are always warm, which is significant here. Arby's, not always warm. Didn't say that, but they're not always warm.
It's true.
Like Zaxby's fries.
And Arby's fries, once they... I know we're kind of cutting back here, but Arby's fries, moving. Once they get a little colder, not very good.
Get super hard, actually, because of that crust.
Yeah.
That's why they're four.
Zaxby's fries, solid. Only issue with the crinkle fries, it makes me think of frozen Orida fries. That's just what it makes me think of.
Yeah, that's true, but they're not. They're Zaxby's.
I mean, they probably are frozen fries.
No, I don't think so. They're handmade.
So you think they have someone in the back personally crinkling the fries?
I think they're actually carving them with a knife. They're cutting those ridges in the fries as they go through each potato.
In the potatoes?
Yeah.
So they don't have a patented crinkler. So they have a crinkler person.
Yeah, it's a guy. Okay, it's a guy. He has a knife.
Okay, the crinkler is not a machine, it's a person.
The crinkler sounds like somebody who killed people in the 80s.
Or the crinkler is also a machine.
Went on a killing spree.
But he is a person.
The crinkler.
The crinkler.
Number two. Chick-fil-A.
Ooh, waffle.
Just like Arby's has the curly fry market cornered. Chick-fil-A, waffle fry waffle. Market. They've got it on lockdown. Waffle. Love Chick-fil-A fries with or without sauce. Sauce is a bonus, but they're good alone. They're super good.
Especially one downside with Chick-fil-A is a lot of times they aren't salty enough. A lot of times.
Yeah, I just said with or without sauce, but I obviously always dip them in a sauce, so that doesn't matter. I know, but I'm saying it doesn't matter that they don't have salt if I'm dipping them.
Oh,
it kind of cancels out.
Okay, I got you. Well, they're good for dipping because all the surface area.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. If they're waffle fries, they got holes all in the surface.
Yeah, but they're still so much bigger than a regular, like a singular, like McDonald's
true,
fry
in terms of overall surface area, yeah.
Yeah.
If they didn't have holes in them, though, think about that surface area.
They would be
chips.
Like regular fries. Oh,
they'd be
okay.
Chips.
Okay, yeah. They would be chips.
Fried chips.
Yeah.
Oh man, should I have added some fried chips?
Okay, I have to come clean. I have a confession.
Okay, before the number one.
Yes.
Okay.
This is. I have to get this off my chest.
Right now, this is the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have no idea how they make waffle fries. The whole process makes absolutely no sense to me. How do they make them shaped like that?
It's got to be kind of like a press or a punch, right? They put them in there and then they press them through.
Press those
holes in them.
I'm telling you, Blair, I have no idea. This is one thing. This is like one thing that
producer.
I have no clue how this happens. I don't get how the shape works because if the holes are there, like they're. How do they fit on top of each other to form a potato? And if so, do all the holes line up? And if that's the case, what happens to all the potato that used to take place of those holes?
Think about the long potato stick that's in the holes of
exactly.
every fry. That's just a regular fry, man. That's a regular fry.
That's what they do.
They're regular fries in between all those.
Oh, my.
And then they outsource those to Wendy's.
To Wendy's.
That's where they're getting the fries from.
Okay.
That are hand cut. Chick-fil-A's doing the hand cutting.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's why they can be closed on Sundays. They're getting that extra Wendy's money.
Man. Wendy's made their debut on the list, but also got discovered in the same list.
Seriously.
You ready for number one?
Give me number one.
Number one, best fries on the fast food market. You already know.
I know.
You already know.
I know.
It's Bojangles, baby.
Hey.
It's that seasoning.
Every single time. Okay, so for our listeners out there, nationwide, international listeners, Bojangles is a franchise that's very specific to the North American Southeast, specifically the North and South Carolina.
Right, I'd say that.
And it's just Cajun goodness.
It's incredible. It's really Southern food, known for their fried chicken, I guess, but they have this seasoning that's kind of a combination of Season All and Lowry's.
Yeah.
Lowry's seasoned salt.
Right.
They sell it. Look online. Buy yourself some. Do yourself a favor.
Mm-hmm. I know you're one to always be like, hey.
Every time.
Can I get that extra seasoning? I need to put some more on my fries.
And lately, this could have been on my pet peeves list. Lately, somebody says, just hold him out. I'll have to do it for you. Like, you can't give me the seasoning salt shaker. There is a risk I'm going to run away with it, seriously.
How specific of a pet peeve would that be? When I go to Bojangles and they don't let me have my own control of the seasoning.
I could have taken it next level. When I go to the Bojangles and Graham and Charles doesn't let me have the seasoning salt shaker in the mornings.
I'm going
to
be honest. I have seen the shaker on a chain before.
Yeah, on a string. I've seen that too. So you can't jerk it away?
I guess so people can't steal it?
Who did that? Who ruined that for us? That's why we can't have nice things.
You can buy it. You can buy a jar of it. Like, yeah. At the restaurant.
Yeah. Every once in a while, they'll also dump it into a little bag. Like, they'll put the seasoning salt in the bag and then give it to me to disperse on my own.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yeah, that takes a long time for them, I feel like.
Yeah, that's really extra.
Yeah. But I do want extra seasoning, so you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
That's the list.
At least they don't charge you extra for it.
Ooh, buddy.
They just look at you like you're the scum of the earth.
They're like, you know we already put a super excessive amount of salt on these, right? I'm like, yeah, I want more. I'm just telling you.
Yes. So
that's the debut.
That was it.
Yeah, yeah. Quick fives. That's what we want.
I think we did good.
Rattle it off. Surface level.
Pretty good. Shouts to Meg. Good list.
Good list. We didn't talk about anything in depth except for all five of them.
Yeah. No biggie.
Super quick list.
It was really quick.
Okay. You ready to close it out?
Yeah, I mean, we might as well. Let's get up some shout outs.
Here we go. Shout out to Charles Barkley.
Shouts to Stevie Wonder.
Shout out to Wynonna Judd.
Shouts to Felix the House Cat.
Shout out to Chuck Norris.
Shouts to Anne Hathaway.
Shout outs to Cardi B.
Shouts to Captain Braxton Beverly.
Shout outs to Brian Cranston.
And shouts to Red Oak Beer.
Ooh, that's all we've got. See you next time.
Adios!